You may take your seats and open God's Word in Exodus chapter 16. As we continue our series through the book of Exodus, we are in Exodus chapter 16. We read verse 1 through verse 20. God's Word never returns to Him void. This is His Word. Let us listen to it in this fashion and accept it in this manner. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, "At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us?" So Moses said, "This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings which you grumbled against Him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He has heard your grumblings." It came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it came about at the evening that the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer, a piece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent." The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. And when they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it until morning." But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning. And it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. So far the reading of God's Word. I'll focus on this passage plus the extended part of it till the end of the chapter also next week. But then with the focus on that, the mentioning of the Sabbath is actually bringing forth to us here in this passage for the first time, and that's very interesting. And then I will also focus on the fact that they were to take only a specific amount and for a specific time. So next week, Lord willing, we'll focus on that. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we sang about heavenly bread, and that's also the topic of the sermon this morning, heavenly bread. You know the history by now. We know where Israel is on their journey. They spent many weeks at Elim with its wonderful palms and springs after they did not have enough water to drink. And there the Lord has taken care of them. They were actually able to rest a little bit. But then it was time to move on again. They were not on vacation. They were on a journey. They were on, we can say, God's journey. And that is what life is, right? That is what life is for each and every one of us. We are on a journey. We are on God's journey. And wherever God takes us is where we go. And so far on their journey, Israel learned a few lessons. They learned how powerful God is. They learned how sovereign He was and still is. And they learned much more. They will learn eventually far more than only these few lessons that they have learned while they were being taken out of Egypt in such a miraculous way. And we'll see this morning also how they will learn that God provides for His people, how He guides His people, how He protects His people, and how He is always near His people. And I hope that as we go through this passage again, because it's not that this is something new, and I believe that you agree with me that the preaching is never something new. I hope that no one brings something new to you, but that you will always hear something afresh. And that these things that come to you again, although we know that God protects us and that we know God provides for us, that by the work of the Holy Spirit, as it is pictured to us in this history, will come again to you afresh this morning and make a difference in your approach to life and your priorities also in life. That is the one thing I think that stands out in this part of this history, this truth that God provides. The question is, how much does this truth about God still comfort you and me? I want to argue that one of the biggest sins in our lives these days are discontentment. Now, often are we dissatisfied with the way God is taking care of us? How often do we feel we don't have what others have? How often do you find yourself unhappy with your health or your looks or with your life in general for that matter? And instead of singing God's praises for His goodness, for His love, and for His care, how often do we moan and groan like the Israelites did in this history? Here we heard that they complained about food. They actually stated that they were starving. And they complained to the leaders, but they truly, and the leaders showed them that, they truly accused God of their terrible situation. They were really in rebellion against God. Now, the fact that they would claim that they are actually starving is kind of surprising. God just saved them miraculously from their enemies by taking them through dry land, through a river. I mean, isn't that just amazing if we think about it again? And at the same token, He also drowned His enemies that were pursuing them at the same time in that same river. God, after that, just changed bitter water miraculously into drinking water by telling Moses, take this tree and throw it into the water. Now, could you imagine that God would do these miraculous signs in their lives just to let them die of starvation? But you know, people regard themselves sometimes as so realistic about their circumstances. I think sometimes we do the same thing. But if you scratch a little deeper, you see that we plainly don't trust God enough. And I'm talking about that situations where people see all kinds of problems coming long before they occur. When someone sneezes, double pneumonia is already diagnosed. When there's a breeze, a tornado might come. And they stress themselves and everybody else around them. You know what I'm talking about, right? And so often it is just because we don't trust the Lord. You see, in the situation with Israel, the problem was not the food. The problem was a problem of the heart. The passage talks about the food that they were actually craving. So they were probably just a little fussier. And then they stated that they lived better in Egypt, which was just a lie. They were slaves in Egypt. And it is possible that they had certain kinds of food in Egypt that they don't have right now here on their journey. But they surely had enough on this journey. They had livestock galore. They were able to drink milk. They would even be able to make cheese from the milk. They had meat if they wanted to enjoy a lamb chop. But the discontent heart so often focuses on what you don't have, right? The discontent heart focuses so often on what you don't have that you and I do not always appreciate the things that we are blessed with. And so often this discontentment is fed by a spur of entitlement, especially in our society that is driven by unbiblical worldviews like wokeism and false ideologies like socialism and communism. This entitlement and this discontentment are just fed even more and more. People think they have the right to have all that everyone else has. And it's one thing if you are willing to work for it, but people just want to have it. They just want to get it. The way the people of God showed their discontentment was by grumbling. That's how rebellion starts. The servants of God admonished the people. Remember, we said that this grumbling would continue like a refrain. I said it a few Sundays ago. It will continue like a refrain as we go on through this history. Here we see it again. They told the people that they are not moaning and groaning and grumbling against them, but against God Himself. And this is the sin of many individuals, of many families, of many church families, even of many nations. You are dissatisfied because things are not going your way. You leave the church because you are for some reason looking for the church that will accommodate you in all things, even your sin. Even nations, as I said, fall in this trap. They continue to complain about the past and the opportunities that they apparently did not and don't have. And they're always complaining and feel they are treated unfairly. You get that so often among people. But if we acknowledge God as a sovereign God in our lives, if we acknowledge that God controls individuals, that God controls churches, that God controls our families, that God controls nations, then we know God controls the past, the present, and the future, that He determines who we are. He determines our past and present opportunities. He determines our well-being. We so often forget it. He determines what we eat, what we earn, and how much we are able to handle and steward. And this is true, again, as I say, for everyone, for individuals, for families, for churches, for nations. So grumbling against God really is disregarding His sovereign power and His sovereign care over us. It was clear that the rebellion of Israel was deeply rooted in their hearts. They really, if you think about it, at this point, had no shame. They still did not trust God enough, even after all that He has done for them. He has just saved them from Egypt in these miraculous ways that I just mentioned. And notwithstanding Israel's behavior, we read what God has done. In His grace, He still heard their grumblings. You can see that in verse 9 and verse 12. And then we see His promise that He will provide. At twilight, they will be provided with meat, and in the mornings, they will have bread to eat to the full. Yes, God promised them that they would have enough. To the full, if you think about it. God did what they asked for. So this is what he gave them. If you think about the detail of this. In the evening, quail would come over the camp. Quail was a little migratory game bird common in the Middle East. And some would call them in traps, but sometimes those birds, because they are small, they are so weak that you could actually catch them with the hand. Every morning, every evening, that would come. And in the morning, manna that came down with the morning dew will appear. And as soon as the layer of dew evaporated, something that looked like frost on the ground, a flake-like thing, the Bible says, remained behind. I hope you are amazed again by the miraculous powers of our God. His miraculous provision that he provides in this way for millions of people. And it came on the times God promised. Meals were served at the same time, every morning and every evening. Quantities guaranteed. The people just had to go and get it. Listen how the psalmist actually sings about it in Psalm 78. He says, he rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas. And in Psalm 105, verse 4 and 78, 24, it is called the bread from heaven. And in 78, verse 25, the bread of angels. Miraculous how God has cared for his people. The provision of the Lord has also continued throughout the Exodus until they entered the promised land. We read in Joshua chapter 5, verse 12, and the day after they ate from the produce of the land, what happened? The manna ceased. Since there was no manna for the Israelites anymore, they ate from the crops of the land of Canaan that year. How wonderful. For 40 years, day and night, they didn't have to do anything. God provided for them. You remember, not even their clothes were worn out. Not even their sandals got worn out. That's how God provided for his people. And why did God do this? You might ask. The reason is the same as for anything else the Lord does when he does something for his church. Firstly, if we look at verse 10, we read, and it came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Now, you and I must know that no one can see the invisible majesty of God. If we were able to see it, we would not be able to live. We would be overcome by it. But in his goodness, God already made his majesty visible in this cloud called the Shekinah cloud. In this way, God showed his glorious presence, his protection, his care, his provision for his people. They may never have thought earthly about God. He is not someone who, because he is in a good mood, hands out candy. He is not their equal. No, he is the glorious, transcendent God who does things to bring glory to himself. He is the Lord, and he showed it by providing for the needs of his people. So what do we take from this history as a church today? First of all, the obvious, that God provides for us daily in our lives. And that is again true of you as a child of God. That is true for you as a family of God. That is true for us as a church. So let me ask you, when was the last time that you just praise and thank God for for the wonderful and complete way that He provides for you and your family. Materially, physically, but also spiritually. Because we never may take it for granted. I think we must make sure that not a day goes by that you and I do not thank God for His provision, lest a spirit of discontentment creeps in and devour us. Just go home and think again. What is it that characterizes our lives? As believers in Christ, we are holy, we are set aside, called once to God, called out of this world to serve Him. But are our eyes still focused on the pots and the meats and the bread of this world? Is all our energy going into our strive for more belongings, for more riches, for more money? Are we driven by this unquenching thirst to have, and this thirst to gather, and to have more and more earthly possessions? You know, man's desires for earthly things was also addressed by Jesus, and He warned against it when He said, "Do not be anxious," and then saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Yes, so just as God built Israel's faith through their journey in the desert, let our faith be built up again this morning. It is the unbelievers that worry about these things. Our Father in heaven knows what we need. And He is absolutely able to provide in all our needs, even miraculously, completely. Even if it looks humanly impossible. And we know that the problem of Israel was not that they were hungry. As I said, their problem was a heart problem. And for that, they needed something more than just the meat and bread that God gave them. Later, Moses reflected on the manna in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 through 4. And he said that the miracle bread was not intended to just sustain them physically. It was also intended to teach them a deeply spiritual lesson. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 3, let's read that together. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 to 3. It says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that He might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." God was not only filling the stomachs of the Israelites. No, Moses said God's actions in their lives were to humble him and teach them to depend on God's word. Ask yourself again this morning, do you serve God only for what He can give you? Remember then, we need more. The problem is not the lack of food or material things. The problem is our heart. Because we are grumpy. Yeah, grumpy old men, right? We are grumpy men and women by nature. Sinful, unthankfulness that are really lurking in our hearts all the time. And thus we are grumbling against God all the time. While we have so much to be thankful for. But we continue to complain and moan and groan about so many things. We grumble when things go well in our lives. We grumble when we are sick. We grumble when it is hot. We grumble when it is cold. We grumble because we don't have enough clothes or the right house. And you can go and make that list. The problem in our lives is also a heart problem. And it's only God who can heal discontentment. Only God could take away my fears for the future. Only when I trust Him completely for my salvation, only then will I remember He does not only care for me physically, but also spiritually. Because He has sent us His Son from heaven. And He is the image of the invisible God. He is the reflection of God's majesty. He came and revealed to us the glory of God. He was the bread from heaven God provided for our hungry souls. You know, one of the times during Jesus' ministry here on earth, just after He fed the 5,000, He told the people, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." And then He says, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on Him the Father God has set His seal." When we have Jesus, the bread of life, we have everything we need. Then we have peace with God. Then we will trust Him in all things. We will entrust our lives and our futures to Him, knowing that He will provide in all my needs. Yes, Jesus once again invites you this morning to come and feed upon Him. He is the bread of life you feed on. And you feed on Him when you study His Word, which is all about your salvation in Him. It is through His Word that He sanctifies us, John says in John 17, 7. And just as we need food every day of our lives, we need God's Word also daily in our lives. We feed upon Jesus as we have fellowship with Him in prayer. We feed upon Him in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Not physically, but spiritually. Yes, the physical bread that you will take this morning will eventually be a spiritual sign of the eternal life that Jesus gives to all who trust in Him. So hear the call of the prophet who said, "Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." And here our Lord Jesus who said, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." And then He said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me will not hunger, and he who believes in Me will never thirst." And God's people say, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, thank You for Your word. Help us, Lord, to go and search our own hearts again as to how much we trust you. Let us never long back to our old life without Christ. Let our lives never again show the signs of discontentment, but praise you for what you've made us in Jesus Christ. And let us continue to be what you intended us to be. Reform us more and more to the image of Christ, that the world may see your work of salvation in and through us. Let our gratitude for your salvation continue to grow in us and be visible in our obedience to you. Bless us now as we come to the Lord's Supper. Let us indeed discern the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember, the Lord's Supper is for God's people. It's for believers. It is for those who have made a credible profession of their faith, who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior, who knows that there is no way of coming before the Lord and justify yourself because of any merits in yourself. To come before Him and know that there's only salvation possible in and through Jesus Christ alone. And it's also for those who are very thankful that that provision was made for us through Christ, and that are willing and desire to continue to live a life in obedience to God. May God grant you that conviction in your heart as you come to the Lord's Supper this morning. If you do not have that conviction, it's better that you just watch and pray, that you will not come and eat of the body of Jesus Christ, that you won't partake with these elements that would be handed to you, because then you will eat judgment and drink judgment over yourself. Take this time then to pray. Take this time to repent and to make sure that your life and your walk with Christ is according to the will of God. Will the elders come forward as we prepare the table? I just want to make these arrangements because we have one new arrangement this morning. Remember, we hand out the elements. We wait upon each other, and then we will partake together with the wine. We have the wine in the pink little cups and the juice in the transparent cups. But we have also made, under the bread, we have made provision for those who want gluten-free bread, and that will be in the purple cups. So you can take, that was handled well, so you can take and use that instead of the normal bread. The sacrament is for us to see. So I want you to look, because the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Take a drink, remember, and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us pray. Father, we come with humble hearts before you and acknowledge, Lord, the greatness of our own misery, from which no man or angel was able to deliver us. We acknowledge that we are unworthy of the least of all your mercies. Thus we bring you our gratitude for all your benefits, and especially for the great benefit of our redemption, your love as our Father, and the sufferings and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Lord, we know there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved but by his name. And we praise you this morning for that. As you lay your name upon us, Lord, as we will soon be leaving this building, we ask that you would guide us through this week for your own glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue now to our special collection that usually go for Mercy Ministry. So if our ushers would continue to go and take that up, thank you. I just want to encourage our visitors to please fill in the inserts in the bulletin. We would like to stay in touch with you. There's a green, or what is the color today, but please fill in that insert. Orange, okay. Orange insert. Let us stand now and sing Psalm 45 with hearts in love abounding.
Brightness, your church on earth behold.
Receive God's blessing and go from here in peace. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing to do His will. And may He accomplish in us what is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.